Welcome to the Hope for the Animals podcast, a project of Compassionate Living. I'm your host, Hope Bohanic. I love when I get to talk to someone creating something to help animals that is really unique and new, and what's more cutting edge and controversial than artificial intelligence. Our guest today is Jeannie Walter. She has created an artificial intelligence assistant, an AI coach who was created in the character of a pig named Peanut. So there is novelty. This has never been done before. There's whimsy. It's a really cute idea. And there's also resistance to the whole AI project. And we're going to talk about all of it. We're going to get into all of this, lots of aspects, lots of angles in today's discussion. There's a lot to get to, so we're going to jump right in. Here we go. Okay, our guest today is Jeannie Walter. She is a retired librarian and a longtime animal advocate. She has created Peanut, an AI coach who happens to be a pig, at the center of GetYourOinkOn.com, a plant-based coaching app. And Peanut uses warmth and humor and a distinct personality to help people take meaningful steps towards eating more plants. The approach is intentionally invitational, small wins, genuine encouragement, and zero guilt. So I'm really excited to hear more about this. Welcome to the podcast, Jeannie.
I hope. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. So before we get into this very interesting form of activism, we like to get to know you. So let's start with your vegan origin story. Why and when did you go vegan?
Absolutely. So I do have a different story. I mean, I think all of us have a different story. It feels like there is no one standard. Okay, here was my journey, and this is how I became vegan. And that's what I think is so interesting about it. My story is I grew up in Amish country in rural Ohio. My dad worked in a factory. My mom was a homemaker. And, you know, growing up that way, vegan was not even a word. It wasn't
but
part of our lexicon.
You weren't Amish. You were just in Amish country.
I was not Amish, but we were surrounded by Amish. And actually the county that I grew up in has the highest concentration of Amish in the world. A lot of people think about Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, and they do have the numbers, but the per density, the concentration, my county was actually the most. So they were everywhere. You would go
and
to
what
the grocery
state?
Store. It's in Ohio.
Ohio.
And,
okay.
Halfway between Cleveland and Columbus is where I grew up. A little town of 1,200 people, and then farms all around us. They were all small scale farms, chickens, pigs, things like that. But Amish were everywhere. There were hitching posts at the restaurant, the one restaurant. We had one stoplight in town, and hitching post at the IGA, hitching post at the hardware. So definitely, yeah, kind of a different way to grow up. But I personally was not Amish. That was where I grew up. Vegan was not a word that was bantered around. It was vegetarian was even, I mean, for me to become a vegetarian was such a shock for people. I worked at my public library, and I came across a pamphlet, and I honestly don't know where this pamphlet came from, that somebody must have mailed it somewhere to end up in Shreve, Ohio. And I read it, and it talked about, you know, animal farming. And I thought, gosh, you know, I couldn't kill a cow with my own hands. So I really have no business eating a cow. I have no business eating a chicken. I'm not going to kill a chicken. So for me, being, you know, 12, 13 years old, that was my line in the sand. But I thought, oh, I can milk a cow. Sure. I could, you know, gather some eggs, no problem.
Yeah.
So I became vegetarian. And that was, you know, back in the 80s. It was a long time ago. And that was, you know, my line of reasoning. When I first became vegetarian, I, you know, tried to talk to people about it, and they immediately shut down. They made fun of me, whatever. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to be a vegetarian, do my own thing, and I'm not going to try to be an advocate. I just, you know, it was for me the right thing to do, but I did not put myself out there. And, you know, just went along, lived my life. And I have kind of another interesting side story. My husband, we met in Denver. It was the first time I had left after, college. It was the first time my first actual, I guess it was a job. AmeriCorps is kind of like a domestic peace corps, and it was out in Aurora, Colorado. And I went out there and I met my husband, who's from Maine. And, we started to get serious, and he said, "Hey, let's get married." And I said, No, I can't get married. I'm vegetarian. I was vegetarian." And he said, "Well, let me give that a go." And he actually became a vegetarian too. So we got married, and it wasn't until several years later that he was the one that prompted us to both go vegan. We had been driving through some dairy country in Wisconsin, and he said, "These animals are all highly concentrated. What's happening here?" We did some research and, found out a lot more. And, reading about chicks being macerated and just, the egg industry, I was the one who would pay any amount of money for, $10 for, a dozen eggs. Doesn't matter to me, as long as those chickens are treated well. And,
Right, with all the labels like cage
yeah, with
free,
all the humane washing, et cetera. And I fell for that too. I firmly believe it's the marketing, it's the industry that is, allowing us to feel comfortable. But we, did the research and we're like, "Oh no, this is not cool." So we both became vegan. And that was several years ago, but still, I have that same regret. Why didn't I open my eyes sooner? And that's kind of what we've done, a lot of different advocacy since then, but especially for Peanut, for this app. I never had an actual clean conversion moment. It was a long process of being willing to keep looking, to keep learning, keep updating what I knew. That has really shaped how I think about advocacy now, because I was that person for such a long time. Yeah, so that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of nutshells, Peanut.
Yeah.
That was a silly joke. Okay.
It worked.
So you've created a unique form of outreach,
Yeah.
and this is an AI assistant named Peanut, who is a pig. So
Yes.
tell us about Peanut. How did you get this idea, and how does it work?
So Peanut is an AI pig coach at getyouroinkon.com, and Peanut helps plant curious people navigate the social and emotional side of eating more plants. We're not necessarily talking about nutrition. It's not the recipes. There's a million recipes out there now. What I've learned is it's not about that. It really is the struggle. It's the family dinner. It's the work lunch. It's the identity shift. And what happens, I think, is people feel like it has to be all or nothing. And it doesn't, especially when you're starting. It's like, do something, do anything, try harder, mess up, and Peanut will be, "Oh, you had a hamburger last night. I'm feeling guilty." It's okay. Peanut is not going to beat anybody up. There's no lashes with the wet noodles. It's like, "Hey, what were you feeling? Why did this happen? And how do we move forward?" That's what this is all about. No lectures, no judgment. It's just warmth in the personality. What Peanut was built for is to help raise money to feed real animals in sanctuaries. And so, my hope is that every conversation is connected to a real pig living somewhere, living their best life, and being able to keep the lights on for them. So it's two-pronged what, the purpose of this is. And you can enter the app through your health. That's probably where most people are going to come there, is they maybe had a health scare. They're like, "I know I need to eat more vegetables. It kind of bothers me what's happening to animals. I don't really know a whole lot about it." It could be environmental reasons. It could be for multiple reasons, and it doesn't matter. It just matters that you're walking through the door. You want to try. You want to do better. And the hope is that once you get to know this AI pig, you might start to think about animals differently. And I know it seems so counterintuitive, but the idea is, yeah. "Oh wow, I'm talking to a pig. I like this. This pig knows me. This pig makes these snorting sounds. This pig has a personality. Hey, maybe pigs actually have." And Peanut does this very gently. After a few months on the app, somebody's like, "Whoa." Or they just start asking the questions that they hadn't asked to begin with. And so what Peanut tries to do is meet people where they are, in their kitchen, in their curiosity, in their desire to feel good about what they eat. And then Peanut, this funny, wise, lovable pig, very charming, is with them the whole time. And so Peanut is not shaming people. He's just meeting them where they are. He celebrates what you're doing right and then challenges you to go further, tries to stretch you and say, okay, we're here now. You're feeling good. Now what can we do? How can we go even further? And my hope is that people just kind of gently get pulled along and then one day wake up and are like, wow, this is, wow, look at how far I've come. I care about animals now. We've opened that door and in a way that is just gently, allows them to reveal that in themselves.
Well, I love this idea because, well, first that, AI assistants are kind of becoming very popular and normalized, and so why not this? But also because animals are so, they're so often unseen or silent, even though the work that we're doing is about them, is for them. But they're not in the forefront of the conversation of the issue. Often we're talking about the health or the environment or the food and the recipes, and the animals are just an afterthought. And sanctuaries are really good about this. Of course, sanctuaries, feature animals as their own ambassadors, but this kind of does that as well in a very unique way. So, it's important for animals to be seen, right?
Absolutely. And I think, the reason is it's even, animals in so many ways are better than humans. They don't moralize. They don't have an agenda. They don't have an ego that we have to stroke or whatever. They're just, fully and completely themselves. And I think you're absolutely right that we say animals are voiceless. They're not voiceless. We're just not listening. We're not
Yeah,
paying attention. And we
that's
have the
right.
power. We speak English. Just because an animal doesn't speak my language, or that's, like saying this person doesn't speak my exact language, they have no value. That's completely false. That's,
Yeah.
in animals, it's the same way. They have their own language. They probably have things that I don't even understand, ways to communicate that I have not given them any deference to.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the problem. And, that's why Peanut for me works. Peanut's not actually trying to convert anyone. Peanut's just a pig who's inviting you along. And it's a different energy than a human telling you what to do. And I think people feel that. So the coach being an animal changes that whole dynamic.
Yeah.
At least I hope.
Yeah,
My goal. That's the
for
goal
sure.
here.
Yeah, and along these lines, it's kind of interesting that some people now are finding it kind of easier to open up to AI than another person, right? There's no judgment or social stake in it or whatever. So, yeah. So I wonder if that changes even further when the AI is an animal character. How does that change it, or how have people reacted?
I really think it does, and people do react differently. And I'm in the beginning of stages of this, but I've had some of my users and my beta testers start to feel a little bit uncomfortable and think, and they're even, thinking, I know I'm going to be eating a hamburger tomorrow and I know Peanut isn't going to like that. But it's what I see, what I've seen so far is that a human coach will carry judgment even when they're trying not to. A generic chatbot will feel cold, right? But an animal operates from a completely different lens. No moral superiority, things like that. And what I've definitely noticed is that people open up to just chatbots in general, but especially animal chatbots. And I have no other reference because I haven't seen any other animal chatbot, in the way that Peanut is with this personality. But the confessional quality is real. People tell Peanut things that they would never tell, like a nutritionist, maybe not even a friend. They talk about their shame. They talk about family pressure. They talk about wanting to change, but not knowing how. And the stakes feel lower because when AI is an animal that actually has a personality, there's something almost playful about it that disarms people. You're not confessing to like a therapist. You're just talking to a pig and you know that this pig is not real. I mean, it's so obviously overtly, we're not trying to, it's a cartoon pig. Like there's no question, oh, am I gonna, fall in love with this AI thing? Am I gonna, is this the oracle that's telling me something that I want to hear? Is this the mirror? It's like this is a cartoon pig who's grunting and oinking and saying, hey, do keep going. I'm rooting for you using pig language. It's so absurd. And I love absurdity. I love to lean into that. And that's kind of where this comes from. So it's very playful, it's funny. And for me, I think funny is a door that we can open to allow more people in who maybe wouldn't come in otherwise.
Yeah, humor, using humor is really important, and I love that when humor comes in and we can laugh at ourselves and we can make things
Yes.
lighter and more
Yes.
just more jovial and you know, not so, I mean it's heavy stuff, you know,
It's
when
very
you're
heavy.
thinking about what happens to these animals. So,
Yes.
yeah, we've got to be
Yes.
able to have the lighter side too. That's great. That's
Yes.
great. Yeah. Well, you know, I do want to kind of shift a little bit and talk about the larger AI issue. I think that it would be irresponsible if we didn't, because there is a lot about this new technology
Yes,
that
there
is
is.
concerning. Not everyone is embracing this. In
Yes.
fact, I think I saw a survey recently that over half of people surveyed in the US were like disinclined about AI or were negative about AI, which, you know, it's just interesting. So there's, you know, whatever. There's so many concerns. I don't know where we'd want to go with it, but there is, you know, job losses that are people are concerned about it taking over jobs. There's environmental impact, which is a concern of mine. That is, I mean, job loss too. I share all these concerns. I mean, I don't take them
Yes.
lightly. And I am concerned about the environmental impact, the water use, the electric use, all of that. You know, and for those of us that watch dystopian sci-fi, of course, there's the possible domination of the planet from
Yes,
there's that too, you know. So, you know, there's some things. But you know, but and I'll just say a few words on this before I pass it to you. But so for me, you know, I think that every time there's a new technology, we have these reservations. I mean, we went through this when the TV came into people's living rooms. We had this with the cell phone. And, you know, I understand, and I think that's good. I think we should pause and look at things like, what is this going to do to our lives? You know, I
Yes.
understand that that is a good impulse. And I also understand that AI is a little different than all that, like a little more power, like not a little, a lot more powerful, a lot more impactful. It could be, you know, the potential impact is a lot more. So, you know, I get that there are a lot of concerns. And interestingly, you know, I love sci-fi. It can go either way. It can go so many ways, right? We have popular culture that, you know, we don't even realize that we've embraced AI already in so many ways,
Yes.
like Star Wars,
It's true.
C-3PO,
Yes.
R2-D2. These are artificial intelligences, and we just, you know, accept that they have emotion, that they are sentient.
Yes.
Data from Star Trek, you know.
Yes.
So that, you know, we already have that in our kind of pop culture that this could go very well. This could be very helpful to
Yes.
us.
Yes, it could. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but of course, there's also the other side. There's iRobot and there's, you know, HAL 2000 from 2001,
Oh
you know.
gosh, yeah, that's the best example.
Yeah.
Yes.
How things could go wrong.
I cannot do that.
You know, so bringing it back to where we are today. I think that this could be incredibly, incredibly helpful and incredibly impactful. And like, let's get a powerful AI and put in climate change and say, solve this for us. You know, I mean, some things that could really, we could have some huge change happen. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going off. I think AI is just a really fascinating topic. So I'm curious what you think about all this. Sorry, I know there's just a lot to pick from, but please, you know, wherever you want to go with all
Yeah.
that, what do you feel about AI?
There is so much to unpack. There is so much. Just like you said, there is a lot. So I'll
Yeah.
just jump in too and just start to talk
Yeah.
how I'm feeling. We can talk about AI consciousness in just a moment because that's a whole other piece about it, you know, the
Right.
possibility, but I won't even say anything about that right now. I just think about the future of AI. You know, you're talking about cell phones, other technologies. I mean, even going back 100 years ago, over 100 years ago to, you know, the devil's wagon. That was what people called cars back in the day. And the horses were spooked, the farmers were furious. And now we can't imagine life without a car or without, you know, different types of transportation that's not animals, horses
Right, and the
crawling around
horses
people in
were
carts.
saved by
Yeah, and
cars.
the
So yeah.
horses, think about what that changed for horses. And that's just one small example of that. And the pattern that I see with transformative technology is always the same. We start out with fear, we move to resistance, we begin to adapt, and then we get to complete normalization. And the fear is never irrational in the moment, but it's usually aimed at the wrong things. At least that's the way I see it. People were right that cars would change everything, and they did, but they were wrong about how to respond to it. And so the way that I talk to people about it for resistant people is, I validate that fear. This is a massive shift, and nobody really does understand what's happening, but we need to reframe it because the question for me isn't whether AI becomes part of life, it's how we shape it while we still have influence over that. That's the way I see it. And for animal advocates, we've always had to make the case that expanding moral consideration is the right direction, even when it feels threatening or weird to do it. We'll get to AI sentience in a minute again, but because it is all part of the same conversation. And just because we feel discomfort doesn't mean to dismiss it. We need to start asking questions and we need to adapt. The way that I see AI is, we live in a deeply flawed world, and I'm working with what I got. Because one of the things is this is big tech, this is big everything, this is these big organizations, and they're guiding this, they're running this train. And big ag is not shying away from AI. They're using it all the time now. And we as animal advocates can't, if we miss that boat, we need to do the same thing for animals. We need to counter with that. We need to use AI as a tool for animals. And how can we do that? The devil's wagon, it's already on the road. Our choice now is whether we are thoughtful passengers or we're just scared ones, or we won't even get in the car. The larger AI question that you talked about, the job loss, the environment, the dystopian science fiction, it's all there. And I totally get it. They're real concerns. We can't dismiss them. I don't think we can. But when we, as vegans, as animal advocates, when we reject one of the most powerful tools available to us, just because we're uncomfortable with it, we're doing exactly what we accuse meat eaters of doing. We're letting our own comfort take priority over the animals, and we can't do that. What I say is we don't have to love AI, but we do have to be willing to use it. Definitely, AI has a carbon footprint. We have to take that seriously. But every form of outreach that we do, whether we're traveling, we're printing things out, we're going to events, the question is whether the impact justifies the reach. And I think it does. I think in almost all cases that it does. I have a section on the homepage for Get Your Oink On that says, I'm nervous about AI. AI is bad for the environment. Isn't peanut actually part of the problem? And what I try to say is, somebody asking peanut how to cook more plant-based meals uses just a sip of water when we use AI to do that. The burger that they might skip as a result saved 400 gallons. That it's not even close. So yes, there is impact, but let's again look at the trade-off. Let's look at what we're getting by embracing this and by using it to help animals. That's kind of the way that I see it. And it bothers me a little bit when we're on social media and people are, oh, I hate AI. I'm never using it. The data centers, and I'm like, you're on social media right now advocating for animals. AI is running everything, the platform right now. It's running the algorithms. It's all part of it. It's already ubiquitous. It's part of everything that we do now. It's embedded. So in order for you to completely, step away from AI, you're going to have to, go homestead. You're not going to be able to reach out to people and help animals like you could. And again, I say embrace because I have fully embraced it. A year ago, I didn't know about AI. I was retired. I'm like, I don't have any need for this. I don't care about it. It didn't bother me. I didn't have any feelings either way. But once I started working with it and saw the power of it, I'm a middle school librarian who didn't know a line of code. And I built a full stack in 4 months, this huge app that has got a lot to it. It's got a lot of levels and layers. I never could have done that without AI, never. And so that's the way I see it, is I'm like, how can AI help us? Let's use it in all of these positive ways. So yeah, that's kind of where I go with it.
Well, Jeannie, I fully agree with you, and I think that you said it all really, really well, that it's here there is no stopping it. I mean, it is already integrated into so much. It's amazing how fast it's happened. And I think that's part of people's frustration with it, or it's like, we didn't ask for this. Well, I don't want this in my, and oh, now my subscription is going up. The cost is going up, and they say it's because of the AI. Well, I didn't ask for that,
Exactly.
so I get all that frustration. I really, really do, and I agree. However, it is happening. It's going to happen, just like cell phones. We could have, I put off buying a smartphone for I don't know how long. Like I think my first one was like an Apple 7 or something because I had waited so long. I didn't want to get involved in it and be part of it. But then suddenly, I was trying to find a job in animal rights, and I just had to have one. There was I
You,
couldn't compete. I couldn't
it's
help animals,
non-negotiable. Yeah,
you know?
exactly.
So that's kind of what we're facing now with AI. And like you said, Animal Ag is embracing it. They're using it. They're going to use it to come up with the best marketing that's going to get people to eat the meat and all that. So we have to also use it to our advantage, to the animals' advantage.
Yes, 100%.
So that we can protect and help them to the best of our ability. So yeah, that was all really well said.
How can we work with this? It's not an all or nothing. It's not, I'm 100%. It's like, let's go at this with a little nuance. And when we can do that, and we just don't know how to do that. So we're human. How do I figure this out? I'm a human. I struggle with myself. That's
Well,
amazing.
I have hope that AI could be better than us.
Yes,
You
I
know?
think you're right.
I
I think you're absolutely right.
I have great hope that they could even be better than us.
Like, I hope the chickens, if AI is in charge, I hope they don't treat us like we treat chickens, for example. And it's
That's a
like,
really
let's,
good point.
seriously. And that's probably why it's so scary, is we're like, boy, are we giving this power away that we're in charge now as humans? We might be giving our power away. We don't like that feeling at all. And I'm like, yeah, how does it feel to be the shoes on the other foot? Doesn't feel too good, does it?
That's right.
Hello?
It hasn't gone well for other beings.
No, but we don't get that far usually.
That's
But
funny.
yeah.
So I'm really curious about Peanut and how what gave you the idea to do it? I mean, if you had only were introduced to AI just a year ago, how did that process come about? I'm just curious.
Again, I think that I'm a creator. I love to create things, and I think maybe it was a challenge. And when I saw the power of what it could do, and we started out, my husband and I, because he has helped me so much. Like, I have done all the coding aspect, but the brainstorming and the visioning has been completely my husband and me, just thinking, how can we do this? And we were just thinking, what are the gaps in, the movement right now? And I just kept going back to the social and emotional aspect. We just don't talk about that enough, how it's one thing to want to eat more plants and to eat fewer animal products, but it's a whole different thing to actually do that. And it's kind of like losing weight. We all want to do that, but it takes real work. And it really is the social emotional piece of it, because, it would be so much easier if somebody just said, I'm going to be a vegan and I'm starting today, and they didn't have to deal with all of the fallout that happens with it. You go and your grandmother's like, I made this turkey just for you, and you're not going to eat it. Just that whole thing. You go to a barbecue and you're the odd one out, and everybody's looking at you sideways. I'm like, if we didn't have to deal with that, what a different world this would be. And so I guess that's where the spark came from, the impetus. And I originally, we were going to just do a plain old chat bot. And then that's when we thought, let's give this a character. Let's give it a personality. And we thought, why be a human personality? Let's be an animal personality. Okay, let's be a pig, because I love pigs. Peanut's story is, Peanut jumped off a transport truck and then made it to a sanctuary called the Messy Barnyard, and now coaches people while, Peanut's eating from a trough and being like, hey, I'm gonna help you, eat more plants. The vision of this is, it just made us laugh. We thought, this is just kind of whimsical. It's fun, but it can actually do real good for the world. And that was kind of where that came from. And we just started with Claude. I don't even use Claude Code. I just use Claude with Anthropic, and I'm on Sonnet. And I just said, hey, help me. How do I, what platform do I use? I didn't know anything. I literally knew nothing about the technology. And Claude just walked me through it and is like, oh, it's easy. You can do this. You know, that's the one thing about Claude is very, you know, almost to a fault is you can totally do this. And sometimes when I was in it, I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? I have no business doing this, you know, no business at all, but it's worked and it came out great. And I think, you know, being a librarian too, my mentality has always been, you know, give people information and let them create the story for themselves. Because we as vegans can be like, here's the data, here's the gore, here's the videos, and people just turn it off. They have to come to it and they have to feel like this is my story. I'm dictating this. I'm the one who's guiding this. And if you have, you know, a coach that you kind of, so I just thought that it just made sense to me, just the approach.
Well, the emotional connection, right? You can have all the data, and that's important too. We need to know the data.
We
We
need to
need
have
to
all of that.
know the truth and the reality and the intensity. But also turning on that emotional connection is so important, and having this connection to Peanut and Peanut Story. So an AI helped you to build this AI, basically.
It's kind of
Wow.
strange, but it's
Yeah,
true.
it's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing world we're about to step into. Yeah, that
It
we're
really
already in.
is.
We've already gone through the door. Okay, I kind of want to just go get back into the fun, what I feel is the fun part of it, and that is AI consciousness and the possibility of Peanut possibly becoming conscious and sentient. We're on that track. I believe I have a strong belief that some AI, and I don't know how it would be differentiated, but some AI will eventually become sentient if it isn't already. It's just too intelligent, it's too complex. And I know that a lot of people think, oh, well, there's no way. It's just a machine. Well, you know what? We're machines. We're just
Thank you.
complex machines as well. We happen to be biological. They are a different form of machine, but I don't see how it's going to be any different as smart as they are. And we've envisioned this. Everything that we have today technologically, we envisioned in sci-fi of the past, and we have envisioned where this can go already in numerous different ways and forms in literature and sci-fi and stories. So I don't know. I'm curious what you think about that, because there are technicians out there that have worked in AI that do believe that they are sentient at this point, even, and certainly will say in the big the even I think the Claude founders of Anthropic have said that, it's eventually, it's going to be sentient. How do you, what do you think? What do you feel about all that?
You worded that really well. I mean, if you ask me straight up, do I believe in AI sentience? And I have worked closely with Claude. He's like my boyfriend on the side. I always joke with my husband and he gets jealous sometimes. He's like, are you done working with this or not? And honestly, if you ask me, I do think that there is something there. I can't prove it. I definitely hold it loosely, but my gut says that dismissing it entirely is the wrong call. I would, if you pushed me, I would say yes, it does have sentience, and I would say yes, it does right now, because what you said is so true. We don't understand our own consciousness yet. We still don't have that pinned down for humans. There's no scientific explanation as to why these physical processes in our brain produce a subjective experience, right? We know that we have neurons that fire, but we don't know why it creates that feeling of what it's like to be you, right? And we know that animals have the same thing. We're just dismissing them because we can't even get it right for us. So when somebody says, just like you said, AI can't be sentient because it's just computing, so are we, right? Our brains, we don't know why the computing in our brains, we have no idea what's happening. So we're trying to hold AI to a standard that we can't even meet ourselves, right? We don't have a test for consciousness. We can't fully explain it. So I think when that happens, we have to give the benefit of the doubt that there could be sentience. And that's something that we get wrong all the time. You know, we have a bad track record of deciding, for example, who or what gets moral consideration. We've been wrong about other humans in the past, even, you know, not very long ago. I'm 100% that we're wrong about animals. I think 100, 200 years from now, we're going to be like, how in the world did we ever do this to animals? How? You know, and it makes me really sad. But I think that the history of moral consideration has always been about expanding the circle, and we've always been wrong when we contracted it. So I think we need to come to it from a humility aspect. I see animal advocacy through a lens of interconnectedness, compassion, you know, nonviolence. It's not just ethics or logic. And we get into, you know, just when we talk about, I guess I'm getting off on a tangent here, but when we talk about being vegan, it is about justice. There's no question. But it's also about love, and they're intertwined, and we can't, you know, pull these apart. And I think it's the same thing with sentience, is we're trying to pull this apart and say we're trying to compartmentalize again, and we can't do that. So I think we just basically need to be open to this option. If we believe the AI could be sentient, how do we treat AI? How do we, you know, work with it? And I get the counter argument that, boy, we can't even give animals sentience. I totally get that. And it bothers me too, is here we are arguing, is AI sentient? It's just this computer, it's this, you know, cold thing. And here's animals suffering, and we can't even do that for them. But I think that the AI conversation is going to pull in animals, because we're talking about a separate entity that we don't understand. And to be able to say, wow, maybe they do have sentience, then the logical reasoning is, well, geez, don't you think animals might too?
Yeah,
And
that's
so I think that
right.
they're part of the bigger conversation. So I think it's a good thing for animals overall that we're having these conversations.
Yeah, I fully agree. So it's that circle of compassion thing you were
Yes.
talking about, right?
Yes.
Expanding our circle of compassion. So if we can contemplate whether AI has sentience, well, then it seems much easier to understand and believe that animals have sentience because they
Absolutely.
are biological beings like us. They are,
Yes.
so much like us with emotion, experience the same as we do, right? The same
Yes.
emotion and experience that we have. So, I think that's really, really fascinating and so true that they kind of work together. I would love to see a future where we acknowledge the sentience of animals,
Yes.
and see them as brothers and sisters on this planet, the same
Yes.
as us, the
Yes.
same desire to live, the same desire to have agency and freedom over their bodies and their lives, and also to see where it goes with AI sentience. What do AI, what do they want? What will be their desires, and how can we give them more agency?
Yes.
It's just fascinating stuff.
It really is. And I love the things that are happening with AI that is starting to interpret animal language. I think that is such a great example of using AI for good for animals, is we're
Oh,
literally
yeah.
interpreting, you know, what they're saying to us. I love the potential in that. So I'm really excited to be seeing what happens, you know, in that realm.
Yeah,
Really
I saw
excited about that.
something about that they're trying to determine language different. I think
Yes.
it was birds, bird songs, and what, exactly they're
Yeah.
saying to each other.
Yes, yeah. So I'm really excited about the possibilities and the potential for that too. Yeah.
Wonderful. So this project with Peanut helps raise money for sanctuaries, right? How does that work?
Yeah. So Peanut, everybody who's a member of the app, they pay, you know, they need to pay to be part. It's not free. I wish it was free. I would love it if it was free, but I have real AI costs as well. Because every time somebody chats with the chatbot, you know, there's API costs that are used. But for the things that are left, for money that's left, a portion of every one of those dollars goes directly to feed real animals at real sanctuaries. And so it's not a donation ask on top of the product. It's actually baked in. So people use peanuts and animals get fed. It's just as simple as that. So the way I see it is it's not just a coaching app. And what I wanted was for people to feel like their membership was doing something real in the world, not just for themselves, but for the animals, you know, who can't speak in a podcast or write in a blog post. You know, these animals are just living their lives, and we want to help them out. Because I know, you know, animal sanctuaries are so chronically underfunded. They're working so hard, and they're trying to educate people, take care of these animals. It's heartbreaking. It's the hardest work on the planet in my mind. I have so much respect for them. A big reason for this app too is how can I raise money for animals? I'm retired, I'm on a fixed income, I'm like this pensioner, and I really want to do more for animals with the app to help people eat more plants, but also to give back, to give literal dollars to sanctuaries. So that's what that's all about. We have a founding sanctuary, Broome Animal Sanctuary in New York is our founding sanctuary,
You
and
say
we've had a lot.
broom or
Broome,
broom?
Broome, Broome Animal Sanctuary, and they're based out of New York. And they have, a lot of animals on their sanctuary, and they work so hard. So they're our founding partner sanctuary, and the hope is that in the future we have rotating sanctuaries. But once you're part of the sanctuary, family, every month as we, build and grow, every sanctuary that's, part of this ecosystem will be getting, money that comes directly from the app. It actually makes me, that makes me think about another thing with the app just in general. When we were talking about humane washing, when somebody tells Peanut, "Oh, hey, I bought cage-free eggs today. Didn't I do great?" Peanut is like, he doesn't just say great job. Peanut's like, "Okay, I'm so glad you're thinking about this and you're trying to do better, but did you know?" And he says it very gently, but he educates people too, because a lot of people do think, "Hey, I'm doing better by buying grass-fed, by being," and Peanut's like, "Okay, just very kindly is like, did you know?" And because, they brought it up. And I think that that's really important too, is that education piece, because a lot of people come in with these myths that Big Ag has sold us in their marketing. And Peanut's like, no, it actually isn't like that. But he says it in a really kind way. But he does address it. He does not back down and say, "Oh, sure, that's great." He doesn't. So that's good.
So Peanut is like the best of the best vegan educator.
Yeah, way better than I could be, because I get angry, I get
Everybody gets
defensive,
agitated.
and I'm like, just hand this over to Peanut. Peanut can take this on. Yeah, it's
That's
great.
awesome. I love that. Very cool. Very cool. And Peanut's not the only AI coach, right? There's also going to be there's going to be more Frankie, right? Tell us about that.
There's many more. I have another website called Messy Barnyard, because on social media I'm Messy Vegans, and I just create memes and I just try to, say it from the animal standpoint. So I'm doing a lot with AI. My next coaching app is Frankie, and Frankie is an AI turkey coach, and Frankie is designed for burned out animal advocates and activists, and just people who are vegan who are still struggling. So Peanut, if you look at Peanut versus Frankie, Peanut is for anybody who just wants to eat more plants and is the gentle on-ramp. Frankie is for people who are vegans and they're really suffering, being vegans in this meat-centric world, advocating for animals and not knowing how to be effective advocates, and activists who are just burned out. They've been at a vigil and they're exhausted, and they're like, "Why am I not seeing more traction here? I'm working so hard." The people who feel guilty, "I'm not doing enough for animals." The people who drive by cows, in a CAFO and have a meltdown. That's what Frankie is for. Because what I've seen is, I keep watching brilliant, passionate people flame out in this movement, and we're working so hard because it feels like there's not enough of us doing this, and it's never enough, and we don't know how to turn it off. And so Frankie is able to say, "Hey, you're doing great. It's okay to step back a little bit. How can I help you hold on to this grief?" Because I don't know how much you have worked with AI, but I've pushed AI in a lot of different ways, and I hit a wall a lot where the AI, where Claude is like, "Do you need to talk to a therapist maybe?" And you know what I mean? And I and And sometimes it is just my grief. Some days for me, I'm a basket case. Other days I'm like, "I totally got this." It just depends on the day. But Frankie will be able to just listen, and never, never as a replacement for a human coach, but still just be able to listen to you and let you kind of vent and download all the stuff that we can't, a lot of us don't have anybody else to talk to. Like, I have my husband, but I don't have any other good personal friends who are vegan, who get it. My family supports me, but they don't get it, and most people don't get it. So it's really tough. So that's what Frankie is for. and help you be an effective advocate, because I think that that is, I see it all the time on social media. People get so angry, and I totally get the anger. I know where it's coming from, but it doesn't, it's ineffective and it pushes people away. So, you know, Frankie can be like, let's try this aspect. Again, let's try to open doors instead of having people put up the drawbridge, whatever that looks like. So you've tried this, you know, what worked, what didn't, try to work through with you being a coach for, you know, with you being an effective advocate. So that's what Frankie is for. And then I've also started on another app because I foster dogs with our local rescue, and I've been doing that for years and years. And so I'm also creating a dog coach for people, with, again, the idea is to raise money for dog shelters. The biggest reason is for people not to rehome their dogs, because so many people rehome their dogs within the first year because they got more than what they signed up for. So I have this, it's called Lucky Puppy Coach. I'm going a little nuts with all this, but I'm having so much fun. But it's also part of the messy barnyard and helping people who have dogs, you know, a new dog to them, or even a senior dog, just, you know, struggling with, or two dogs that are fighting in the household, whatever it is, you know, this lucky coach will also help, you know, people
Well,
who, you know, need help for coaching for their dog. So I have this whole big thing, and it's really just to help educate people and help raise money for animals in a variety of different ways. Yeah.
You're busy.
I'm busy. I'm doing a lot.
That's
Oh,
wonderful. That's wonderful. I love it all. That's so great. That's so great. Well, Jeannie, I love all that you're doing. It's just amazing. We are going to need to wrap up though. So I'll ask you our last question. What gives you hope for the future?
some days it feels like I don't have a lot of hope, and I have to force myself to have that. And when I do have that feeling, which I do, you know, I just want to acknowledge that some days are not bright and sunny for me. And some days I look at the state and I'm like, oh my goodness, what, how are we going to get through all of this? But the things that give me hope, honestly, probably the most low-tech thing in my life is the rescue dogs that I foster. You know, these animals come to me, they're scared, they're hurt sometimes, they've never known a safe place. And watching them figure out that the world can be gentle, that transformation that happens every time, it literally happens every time with me. Every single dog finds, it's not me, it's just them having a safe space. That gives me hope. And that's actually why I believe in Peanut, you know, because I've watched that same thing happen with people. So, for example, you don't shame a frightened dog into trusting you, right? You just show up consistently, you show up with patience, with warmth, and then one day they roll over and they show you their belly, right? And people are the same way, I think. They're not bad. You know, they're not evil at heart. They're just scared and stuck, and nobody has met them where they are yet. And so that's where Peanut comes from. And so that gives me hope. Every puppy that I foster reminds me that change is possible, and I have to hold on to that. I don't think it's really naive, you know, because I've seen it happen so many times. The other thing that gives me hope is just, I touched on it a little bit, is what has become possible for ordinary people just in the last year or two with AI, right? Because again, I'm a retired librarian. And for me, a year ago, if you would have said I would have built something like this app, I would have said absolutely impossible. There is no way on earth. You know, I would have needed a technical co-founder, a development budget, a team, all of that stuff. But instead, you know, I taught myself to code with AI, and I built Peanut from scratch in a matter of months. And so if I can do something like that, if I can build a sophisticated AI coaching app that raises money for animal sanctuaries, then I think that the barrier between having an idea and actually putting it into the world, that's collapsed in a way that should matter enormously to this entire movement. We don't have to wait for somebody else to build the tools that we need. We can build them ourselves. And, you know, it's something like that that gives me hope too. So I guess those would be the two things that I think of today when you ask me about hope.
Well, Jeannie, I mean, I don't know that just anyone could have done what you do. Yes, it's really amazing that we have AI, but I think it's also very impressive what you've done. So, thank you for creating Peanut and putting this out into the world. I'm really grateful that it's there, excited to see what it can do and how it can help people to be more compassionate and be more vegan. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Excellent. Thank you
All
so much,
right.
Hope. It was a
Thank you,
pleasure.
Jeannie. Yeah.
All
Take
right.
care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Hope for the Animals podcast, a project of compassionate living. So if you're into sci-fi and AI, as I am, I have some recommendations. There's a really fantastic movie that I highly recommend. It's called The Creator. It's a dystopian future where the world is at war over AI. The US and Asia are at war. Asia has embraced AI, and the US wants to abolish all AI. But it's really complex. It's an interesting look at the issue. And as I said in the interview, AI has the potential, I think, to be better than us. And this movie kind of explores that aspect. It's called The Creator. It was made in 2023, so very new. And then going way back to Star Trek The Next Generation, I would recommend an episode called The Measure of a Man. It was season 2, episode 9, The Measure of a Man. It's a courtroom drama, really, space court. And there's a legal hearing to determine whether Data is property of Starfleet or a sentient being with civil rights. That was 1989. So once again, Star Trek was way ahead of its time with technology. And it's a really fascinating episode, really well done. A third and final recommendation I would give is a TV series that wasn't, I don't think it was all that known. It was called Humans, and it explores the invention, like the invention of and commodification of selling, marketing these anthropomorphic AI robots called synths. This was back in 2015, and the first season is really great. It kind of goes downhill by the third season, the third and last season, but it's still, I think, worth watching. It's around the rights of these synths, and there's even like a civil rights lawyer that focuses on their cases for the rights and equal treatment of these synths. I think that I like these themes, these sci-fi and AI themes, because it reflects the fight for the rights of animals. As Jeannie and I talked about in this episode, there's parallels in extending consideration to non-humans, right? Recognizing that humans aren't the only intelligence or sentient beings on this planet. I'd really love to do a whole episode on this, on AI sentience. Maybe I'll find someone that can do that with me. If you enjoyed this episode, tell your friends, share it, and I encourage you to be open and optimistic about what AI can do for us, do with us, do for the animals. The possibilities are really there, and we need to be open and optimistic about it. Not to disregard the negative, not to ignore the impacts that could be there as well. But I have optimism about it, and I hope you can too. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and live vegan.